Hi, I'm Russell Harrison, the CEO here at Western Health. Welcome to the COVID catch-ups. These are sessions where I get to catch up with small groups of staff from across Western Health in a slightly different way to normal. We ask some questions, we have some fun, answer some questions, and hopefully just have a good conversation.
Welcome to a different setup to staff from Ward 2D at Footscray. We've got on the call today Myra, Vivian, Isabella, and Kate. So welcome, ladies, one and all.
Hey, thank you, Russell, for this opportunity. Hello.
Thank you for giving up your time today. Hopefully you're not too nervous or anxious. It's all a bit of good fun, and we're hopefully going to have a good conversation. It's also great, as I said earlier, that you guys are our first clinical area on these sort of setups. So great to welcome you for all the great work you've been doing, both in terms of the COVID support, and obviously you're a COVID ward at Footscray, but also before that, all the sort of respiratory and infectious disease stuff that you guys manage. So I'd start by saying a huge thank you up front for all of the work that you've been doing during COVID, before, and obviously going forward. It's hugely appreciated. And, you know, it's great that you're in such a spot to provide, you know, fantastic care to our patients and support our community, and, you know, both in terms of COVID and non-COVID work, because you guys have been busy doing both. So thank you for that. It's great that you and your team have been providing that care and keeping us as an essential service. We're in very interesting times and very different times. So, you know, huge thank you. Today, as I say, is a bit of a question and answer piece. Hopefully we'll get a bit of an easy ride because I give the questions to you guys. But if you're feeling, you know, brave and keen, feel free to ask questions back the other way. So a bit of a gentle start, I guess. And we'll start with Vivian. How has your work changed, Vivian, during this COVID crisis?
Yeah, it definitely has changed a lot. And well, for me, I've been nursing for 25 years and I've nursed across a few different countries in the UK for the greater part, and then 10 years in Australia, 2 years in the Philippines. And for most of that part, it's been emergency nursing and infectious disease and respiratory and HDU. So for me, having to, especially in the last couple of weeks, having to unlearn what we've always practiced in terms of infection control and the PPEs, because for us, it's always been that contact precautions is you're gowning up, you're gloving, you're doing all that. And we're still using the same signs that we've always used over the decades. Having to remind myself that no, contact for COVID means an apron and gown and a face shield. And, you know, for someone who's been doing it for 25 years in a certain way and now having to now do it in a different way. So that has changed a lot. And having to unlearn that and, I guess, learning the newness of the COVID virus and what it's done to everybody across the globe and what it's done to us as health professionals, how it's changed us. Not just as health professionals, but as individuals and as a country. So it's big.
Yeah.
That's it.
Okay. And Isabella, how about yourself?
Well, I'm quite the opposite to Vivian. I'm a grad nurse, so I've only been on the ward for less than 6 months. Prior to that, I was in theatre. So coming into this is completely new for me. I mean, I haven't seen anything like this throughout my lifetime, but then also within my first year of nursing, it's
high baptism of fire.
Yeah, it definitely is. But it's an exciting time, as sad as it is. I'm learning a lot more. Yeah, I agree with Vivian with the PPE and all the gowning up. It's been really good exposure on how to learn it.
Okay, cool. And how about yourself, Kate? Any learnings from yourself?
I think this is my third year nursing. So I think a lot of us has helped us to adapt to different practices. And I feel like this time is a time for us to all learn, and we've all enhanced that part of our career as a nurse, which is something really good to in my junior years. I think touching on PPE, it's something we've all been taught as we started as a nurse, but it's just in this sort of time, in this pandemic, it's something that we've had to learn to adapt to in our career. Yeah.
Okay, cool. Now, Moira, a different question for you. So as the nurse unit manager and leader of the ward, it's a pretty tough gig generally. And in these times, it's kind of, you know, even more sort of stress on your shoulders to keep the team going. So I'm interested in sort of, has there been any opportunities for the team to have, sort of a bit of a laugh or a bit of a distraction or some things that have kept you entertained in these challenging times? Because 2D is renowned as being quite a sort of, you know, strong ward and a popular sort of culture on there. So how have you kept that going?
Well, it has been very difficult, and seeing the team clearly, like Kate said, adapt, listen to each other, express how they're feeling. We'd often have a pulse check. And that, and that pulse check happens during the AM and PM turnover, or when the AM team goes home. We get together. We talk about the challenges of the day. We laugh at, you know, the decisions that we make to say, oh, is this a surgical or is this a N95? And we'd often take that as a learning opportunity. We then do risk stratification, risk mitigation, and we kind of have it in a fun way. We have changed our handover room, knowing the fact that we have taken all the things that we've accomplished in accreditation, we've taken that down and made it our own sanctuary. We're slowly putting pictures of our pets. We're putting up inspirational quotes to get us through the days when we often, you know, we've had three positive COVIDs, and one of them, who, God rest his soul, we reflected and we took what we've experienced in how we often manage palliation. I think we're very proud of how we manage to comfort our dying. But this is a different situation where families don't have the opportunity to come in. And being positive, and also one of their loved ones were positive, it was very, very difficult. And our team trying to reach out to the family to do FaceTime, it is totally a different experience. We'd often ask them to have a vigil. And, you know, being from the background of that particular family, we know how family orientated they are. Yes, and that is what kind of hits home. And for us to debrief in our sanctuary, I think, you know, and have those moments to, you know, express ourselves, whether it's shedding a tear or, you know, thinking of, we were really hopeful that he would be our positive outcome, or we were talking about discharge planning. And, you know, it's those types of situation where the team comes together, we talk about it, we cry about it, we then go, you know what, the next patients, we're going to do things even better. We are going to encourage the grandchildren to write cards, something different for them to reach out and actually be with their loved one, but in a different medium.
Yeah, no, that's pretty good. So a fair bit of change, and as you say, creating some different spaces and some sort of quieter spaces and things. Making it your own.
That's right. And, you know, the wellbeing hub, I believe the team's utilising that more and appreciate the food that's being donated. You know, we get a call from the team and it's like, hey, you know, Myra, send your team down. Make sure they're here. Bring a trolley. It's all those special things that makes a big difference.
And as you say, the community support has been incredible for the staff of the organisation through all the donations they're making. So, yeah, I can imagine. How about yourself, Kate? In terms of, you know, the difficult situation, but there's lots of positives coming out and people around the organisation are sort of saying there's lots of different positives. Have you got anything specific that jumps out as a nurse that's been relatively, you know, new into nursing as a third year kind of nurse? What do you think are some of the positives that have come out?
I think working with the team on our ward, I think there's a lot better team bonding. This sort of experience is sort of we've got out of it. We're closer as a team. Also just the support from elsewhere. So just the other day we got nominated by ED for some food to be delivered. So just knowing that other wards also have our back as well. I think, yeah, just generally our teamwork has been really top-notch, if I can say. But, yeah, I think that's the biggest positive that's come out of it. Everyone just seems to be really have each other's back and just know that each other's there, we're there for each other. And if someone needs to talk, you can always just go to someone else on your team. Yeah.
Now, Kate, as a non-nurse, I take that your teamwork on a ward is always top-notch.
I think it's just made it even better.
There you go. Very impressive.
Yeah.
And how about yourself, Vivian? Nursing for a long time. What are the positives that you're sort of taking away from this or want to capture?
In a crisis, reflecting on what we've been going through, even from going way back to January, and how we've actually not just physically prepared the unit, but also prepared ourselves mentally for it, knowing what's to come, actually not knowing what will come. So it's sort of like what Kate's saying, created a space for us to actually make ourselves even better.
Yeah.
Than what we were. Like, we've done more than a few changes in terms of the way we actually provide nursing care to our patients, given the cohort that particularly in the unit that we're getting. So, we've started team nursing and all that, which so far I believe has been working well. And it's just we've created greater opportunities for us to actually talk to each other and remind ourselves that we need to be kinder to each other and being a support. So when we feel that someone is not having a good day, we are particularly more looking out for each other. If you need that space, you need to go home early, you need 15-minute break, even though it's not break time yet, all those sorts of things that just makes it easier for us, not even physically, but just mentally and psychologically. It's just all the anxiety before all this. So I think because we've like to believe that we've prepared ourselves mentally well for what we're facing now, what we thought would be such a huge challenge for us, it actually worked out well because we were able to support each other through and ease each other gently into what we're going through right now. So we thought,
brilliant.
We thought, some of the staff might not even want to come in. Oh, what's going to happen to our sick leave? Is it going to go up? But the talking and all the support before it even happened, we're all here as a team and helping each other. So that's just fantastic.
Fantastic and well done to all of you, and I guess to Moira as the leader of the team.
Definitely. Yeah, she's done most of that.
No, Vivian, I think it's asking the team what we can do for each other.
Yeah.
And, no ideas is crazy, right?
Yeah.
We've established now this team nursing, and the team leaders are senior nursing staff where they're actually providing that type of opportunity for growth in the learning aspect, looking at, proper, better assessment. We do it, but then now it's more of targeting that patient who really is vulnerable. What more can we actually make them feel secure and reassure them, because we're explaining to them why they're in isolation, explaining to the family, reassuring the family, the visitor's policy. Case by case is what we feel we need to review. If the patient really, really would want one of their loved ones in, well, we'll be truthful to them. Truthful to say that we are the COVID ward. It is your choice. We will be happy to don on the PPE so you are protected as well. But, the most important thing is that your loved one wants you there and would want to either, want you there physically or on the phone, FaceTiming. That is our priority for our patients.
Yeah, cool. All right. Isabella, I'm going to be really naughty and ask you a really challenging question.
Okay.
So I apologize in advance, but it would seem a good one for you to ask, and then feel free for others to jump in. But often in health services, things are really slow to happen, and there's lots of little things that are sort of like small niggles that if only we could do that differently or better, our life would be so much easier. So have you got any kind of things like that, or frustrations, think, if only we could do this, it would make our world a wholly different place? And, whilst you've got the ear of the CEO, now's your chance to go for broke. Can't say I can fix everything, but,
Go for it, Isabella.
I suppose at the very beginning of sort of the pandemic and when we first started having some query patients, just the testing and how long it was taking for the results to come back. When it first started and it was taking 3-4 days, and it was becoming frustrating for the patients and frustrating for us, because sometimes it doesn't even look like they have any symptoms.
Yeah.
And, you know, we were expecting a really big influx of patients in May, June, when they thought the peak would happen. And so using all of that PPE and becoming nervous when it was all starting and all the anxiety was there. But that's definitely, the time's been cut down now, which is really good. It doesn't take as long to get all the results.
There's more labs now able to do the test. So, yeah, the Vidral released the process and other labs got certified to do it. So that was the delay at the beginning, was just the physical capacity to test the tests.
Yeah.
So to speak.
That's a really good improvement. So that's really good now that they're so much faster.
So how about on the ground at Western Health in terms of stuff that we might have some control? Are there any little niggles or challenges that you've got or that the team have got that are on the call that want to say, coming like, oh, if only you'd sort of say we could do X, our life would be phenomenal. Or is life just phenomenal anyway because you work at Western?
There's always that point to it. I don't know if there's anything. I think mine's based on communication. I think a lot of it is between teams as well.
Yeah.
You've got your nursing staff, obviously, which are on the front line, and we're looking after the patient 24/7. So, and then you've got your doctors as well who are there but only see the patients at certain times. That took a little time for us to adjust to. But otherwise now I think we're all pretty up to date on everything.
Like to, you know, I really thank the infection prevention teams who really came to the ward and, you know, had that opportunity for us to have the question and answer time and, you know, solve things that we were like, ooh, you know, that's like, you know, Vivian indicated as infectious diseases nurses, we had to like unlearn things, but, you know, we were really supported and reassured by them that our clinical judgment, our risk assessment and, you know, transmission-based precautions still exist. We still got our, you know, query CPE patients, our TB patients. So, you know, bring it home, bring it back to what we do best, and that's being the respiratory infectious diseases team that we're renowned for. You know, I'm very proud that we're still managing our multi-drug resistant tuberculosis patients, and, you know, it's still, I could say, fresh of breath air when we go, oh, great, we've got a, you know, an ESBL or a TB. That's our bread and butter,
Thanks for that. And anyone else got any niggles?
Yeah, I do. I just wanted to find out if there was anything we can do in regards to the places where we can go for our breaks. I think this time more than ever, especially, well, not so this week, but more so in the previous weeks when we actually had positive patients and there was a lot of confusion still there. We were trying to settle down as to what protocols and what policies, and we're changing things left, right and center. I think it would be good for us to have somewhere else to go. We need to have a break. A lot of us have to go back to our cars just to sit down and have a break, because we do need to walk away from the clinical space after what we've been doing. But because all the spaces where we used to go have now been closed, I'm just wondering, and I'm asking you, I guess, and the rest of the management team, where do you expect us to go? Because we do need to have a break. We do need the breathing space. We do need to be out of the clinical area. And we cannot go. We cannot all go into the tea room or the handover room because we're, you know.
They're too small.
Where do you want us to go? So that's my question. And we do need to have a break.
Yeah, you know, it's a great question. And it's one that's caused me and a lot of my colleague CEOs a lot of angst, largely because the decision was taken out of our hands to close down all the cafe spaces. We sought an exemption for hospitals to have the cafe spaces open. Yeah, we'd put in appropriate physical distancing. You know, we'd separate out tables and all those kind of things. But the federal government ruling or the national cabinet's ruling meant that there was no exceptions allowed. So we've been trying to scrabble around and find a way of getting around that. It took too long, so sorry for that, ladies. We didn't quite get it quickly enough. But we were trying to find a loophole in the rules of the sort of lockdown requirements so we didn't break those and get fined significant amounts of money and put staff in harm's way. So we, particularly at Footscray, where there's not a lot of space because it's a very old facility, there wasn't any obvious spots we could do without breaking those rules. So I know a lot of us have been working hard to try and come up with a solution, and that's going to be the MacArthur room, which is kind of set up now. So there is the opportunity to use that room to have lunch in as a sort of separate table. It looks a very sort of odd setup with one table, one chair every 4 square meters. So we'll be offering that as an opportunity. But yeah, it has been a challenge for a lot of staff. And as I say, I only apologise, we couldn't find a loophole in the rules quicker.
Thanks, Russell. The Wellbeing Hub now provides, I guess, the area to then bring your lunch. While
yes.
In the beginning, it was, you know, for just solely, you know, that nice meditation, you know,
yeah.
atmosphere. But, you know, they've now allowing now staff to have their,
yeah.
their lunches there. So which is, you know, a good thing.
And that that came from staff feedback.
Yeah,
so when the Wellbeing Hub started, we were listening to bits of the staff feedback, which was around, can we have a space to escape the pressure, as you guys have been saying around, you know, can we just literally get away from the stressful place? And the meditation and sort of mood lighting and all that stuff was aimed at doing that. And then staff were feeding back that whilst that's great, we want somewhere to eat. So can we do both in the same space? And that got toyed around with for a while. So
thank you for
hopefully
that,
those
yeah.
wellbeing spaces have been kind of helpful and appreciated. But I'd say that they're all sort of changing in to react to your feedback. So that's been, you know,
that's
helpful
good.
To know that.
Thank you.
One of the things I wanted to ask, and a few of you have kind of hinted at it, and I think, Vivian, you sort of to put it well around the fact that, you know, you're an infectious disease ward. You handle a lot of, you know, challenging patients with conditions that are multi-resistant to treatment and or very infectious. You know, so people think that you guys will be not immune to the sort of concern of that, but so well-versed in it that it's almost, you know, sort of ordinary business for you. So it was interesting for me, and I'm sure other people, to hear that there was still, you know, anxiety about dealing with a new infectious agent like COVID and tailoring practice and changing it. But how have your families kind of responded, and partners and loved ones, to the fact that you work in the area that you work, which is, yeah, literally right on the front line of dealing with this pandemic? And has that sort of created more anxiety or less? And how's that gone down? And how about Isabella, we throw that to you first.
Well, for me, at first, I was quite nervous with coming into the coronavirus, as like different to just having like CPE or C. diff patients, or even tuberculosis. Was used to being exposed to those patients and, you know, not being nervous to go into those rooms. But
yeah.
I think just because it was so much on the media and so much, like you could see what was happening in other different countries. And so when we first started to get it, I was quite nervous. But then over time, it has become now like, you know, just like going into a TB patient's room, like we've become used to it and now I'm comfortable with it. But my family is very nervous for me.
I bet.
Especially my grandparents, who I haven't obviously been going to see because of the social distancing rules. Not seeing me physically, I think, makes them even more nervous because they can't see that I'm actually all right and doing well. And yeah, not seeing friends and families and, you know, my partner, but they all understand, but they're all very nervous for me, no matter
yeah.
how much I reassure them and tell them we're doing the right things and that
yeah.
it's really settled now and everything's quite under control, because they're not seeing it themselves and they're seeing
yeah.
everything on social media and on the news. It's
yeah.
yeah, for them, they're quite nervous.
Yeah, I can imagine. And Moira, how about yourself?
Well, I think from the beginning, I prepared my family really well. My husband now is in the guest room. That's probably
yeah.
where I wanted him in the first place. But they're aware of what I do and
yes.
they know the risk, and they are, I think, comforted that when I arrive that I have my pathway going into the house, that the clothes are already in the washing machine, and I'm glad that, you know, food's on the table and they know that mum is upstairs and doing
yeah.
the right thing, and we'll come down and we'll talk about the great things that the team and the hospital has accomplished in that day. My mom, who is 80, my husband would often drop off food, and
yeah.
and, you know, like my children are actually the grocery drivers and delivery and, you know, can you get this for my mom, or can you get this for auntie? So look,
yeah.
they're aware of the situation and they've
yes.
embraced the challenge, And yeah. I think they're proud of Western Health and that we are providing.
I'm sure very, very proud of Mum, no doubt as well.
Yeah, the community, yes, that's what it's all about.
No, fantastic. All right, ladies, we're kind of coming to the end of the chat. So is there any burning issues that anybody wants to throw in before we conclude or any questions that are left unanswered?
No. Thank you. Like, once again, Russell and Western Health, it's
no, thank you.
Appreciated that, you know, we've got this opportunity to actually speak from the heart and the experience on the forefront. And we are ready and we want to serve the community.
Thanks for listening to the COVID Catch-Ups, and please feel free to share any of these episodes with any of your colleagues who you think might be interested.